Be no opposition.
You're on.
All right, we'll call to order this City of Berkeley Lake Planning Zoning Commission on March 11th, 2025 at 7:15. We'll call that to order right now. And first item is approval or changes to the agenda. Has everyone had a chance to look at that?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, that's what's...
Any proposed changes to the agenda?
No proposed changes.
None for me.
Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda as it's written?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Next, we'll approve the minutes from January 14th, 2025. Assuming everyone's had a chance to go through those minutes.
Yes.
All right. Do I hear a motion?
I move they be approved as presented.
I second.
George seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Old business. We did not proceed with this the last time. We thought maybe we'd have a meeting in the future that would have more people. We can wait or we can go ahead and vote. Are you the vice chair this year?
I am.
You are. I didn't hear any interest in making any changes at the last meeting. Do we want to just knock it out?
Rand doesn't want to take my place.
You want to be vice chair, Rand?
No. I'm always happy to help in any way, but it doesn't have to be anything official.
Okay. Do you guys want to put this off to get another, and who's proposed for our new?
I don't know that it's been
publicized yet. But it's not
appointment, and I don't know that it's. I mean, the appointment is expected to be made on the 20th of March. So,
but it's not. It's not. Can you say if it's someone that's served before that might have any interest in being chair?
My understanding is that the person under consideration has not served before.
He hasn't.
Okay.
You know, I hate to kick the can down the road, but I would offer up that if that person shows up at the next meeting, at least they'll get to see.
Okay. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we continue this?
Yeah,
again?
But you all are both just continuing on until your successor is appointed. So,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not like anything is wrong. I mean, we could go on for...
Okay. All right, we'll just continue the election of the chair and vice chair to the next meeting, please.
You all want to make a motion on that? I think probably that would be a good
idea. I move that we continue the selection process for chair and vice chair until the next meeting.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, moving on to new business. We're looking at... P&Z variance 25-01 at 540 Lakeshore Drive. The relief requested is reduction in the required distance from opposite shore from 75 feet to 31.5 feet. The desire is to build a boathouse closer than 75 feet from the opposite shore. We're here to talk about it.
Yep.
All right, if you... I don't mind. Come up to the mic and introduce yourself for the record. Your name and address.
Name is Barry Newton, and I am at 540 Lakeshore.
Okay. And I guess my request would be, have you guys had a chance to look through this?
Yes.
I did earlier, but quickly. So.
Okay. Do you want to hear the whole project, or do you just want to hear any information other different than what's in our packet here?
Quick overview of the project, but specifically, if a engineer has evaluated how far you're cantilevering out.
No, it's not much. So I didn't think it was going to need evaluating. I thought my builder could handle it, but I can have it evaluated if you think it needs to be. Doesn't.
Well, we'll continue
seem to
on
warrant,
the
yeah.
question and answer part there.
Sure.
To make sure I understand.
Okay, so just an overview then. And
Okay.
Of what you already got in the packet. It's fine.
So a tree fell on it from across the cove and destroyed the old, well, didn't destroy it. It damaged it a lot. Contractor came in and demolished the whole thing, saying it was pretty much needing to be replaced. And so got around to looking at replacing it, and it's nonconforming. And so we start the process. Essentially what I want to do is build back what was there before and then add a roof over part of it and have that roof extend over the part of the lake where I normally park the boat. I think my basic argument is that I'm not causing anybody any heartburn because, well, the boat's parked there anyway. All I'm doing is covering it. And the at the water line, I'm not asking for any more distance from the shore than there was before. It's the same. It's just at, you know, about 11 feet would be closer to the other shore. So unless you're pulling a sailboat back there, you shouldn't really have any extra. And if my boat's there, you have to go around it anyway.
A couple questions there.
Sure.
I'm not sure I understand fully. The cantilever comes out, but the side, is that an open?
All open framework. There's nothing enclosed here.
Nothing enclosed.
No screening, no... it's kind of, it is a little bit hard to envision since the, I didn't think to take pictures of the old dock before it was destroyed. So, I have some, but it's all covered by a tree. So.
And the cantilever itself from, the last post on the dock out looks like it's about,
that's about 9 feet.
9, 10 feet?
That's about 9 feet, yeah.
And the full length of that is from the back of the post, from the back post to the edge of the cantilever is a total of 26 feet?
Yes, it's 27 on my drawing. Let's see, that's the straight joists that will be one piece that kind of comprise the cantilever. Don't go all the way to the other side. That's probably more like, I'd say 20, let's see, it's half of 11, so 27 minus 5, so 22 feet. The joists would be 22 feet long, and they'd be supported at 3 points on one end, and then closer to the lake than the center point. So... I don't, and I'm going to put just for that section of the roofing is going to be metal, and it's going to be no decking underneath it, just straight metal roofing. So it won't really weigh anything either. I don't think there's any need to engineer that.
So have you looked at building codes on how far you can cantilever or something like that?
I don't think it's addressed in any building code anywhere.
Just on any type of structure.
No, I haven't looked into anything like that.
I'm not a structural engineer.
Yeah, me either. Well, I'm an engineer, but not a structural variety. I could put posts in the lake. I would actually put posts in the lake but I thought that would probably be more egregious.
You lose at least one boat. My concern is that looks like it's a 1 in 3 cantilever.
About that.
And
about a third.
So that, and not knowing anything else about the joist sizing, that's like pushing, if not exceeding, the safe limit for a normal cantilever balcony out of it.
Right, but this is not a load-bearing structure.
No, it's not a load-bearing structure. I just got curious, but the whole geometry is a bit unusual, so it's kind of... Will it work? It may work just fine. I just don't know.
The building inspector hasn't reviewed this and would not until the variance is granted. We don't do that because if there's anyway, he just doesn't usually go first. We try to get the zoning stuff squared away first. But your concerns about the cantilever are noted, and I had the same thoughts.
That's getting into the weeds, but I just wanted to make sure.
It's not, I mean, if we were to approve it, the job of designing something that would actually be structurally sound is someone else's job.
Right. I mean, and I don't, this is just sort of true. The inspector does review docks and boathouses. I don't know whether or not there's building code that addresses it for this kind of a structure. I mean, he would review cantilevers for any other kind of, you know, anything connected to a house or whatever else, but that's up to him. You're right. Like, I don't have an...
So, well, it's not just the structure weight. Yeah. It's things that can, even a snow load can be
snow
enough.
Snow loads, wind loads.
Wind loads can be enough to bring things like that down. Hoping it won't ever happen, but...
No, it's a good point. The this is actually probably more akin to an awning than it is to a cantilever. So we could maybe, when I go to inspection or to go to the zoning for that or whoever, building permit.
The permitting process is when anything like that, if the inspector noticed it and was concerned about it, that's when the comments would be made about the structural integrity of what's being proposed.
I need to understand... Do you have more questions?
One more question. Not structural or technical there, but more towards the view shed. Now that I'm paying more attention to kind of the roof line, the view shed, there's no other house before it turns a corner here.
There's nobody behind me from, but nobody, there's nobody behind
on that side.
Right, I'm farthest back from the lake in the cove. Yeah.
Then Sue Carlson and Todd Senny, I think, and you people. I'm just trying to figure out what the view shed would look like.
I can show you, kind of, if you want to look. I took a picture and sketched. It's kind of sketched just of where it's going to look like. It's below or equivalent to Sue's. She's the only one behind me, but I'm not within her sight line to the lake. In fact, the only sight line from the lake is the road up there.
There's a road in the culvert.
Yeah.
Okay. Then whose is this?
That's Sue's.
That's Sue's.
That's Sue's. Okay. So.
See, I talked to her on Sunday.
This is.
And showed her the same thing, and she was, seemed to be okay with it since she.
This is the main part of the lake, and we're looking back into the cove.
Yes.
So this is the house at the far end.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm up here now.
Okay, and so this dock here is Todd's.
No. Oh, yes, that is Todd's. Yes. Exactly.
Okay. And so that would be. So the reason you're positioning this down here is to.
That's just where it was before.
That's where it was before.
No, I don't mean the dock itself. I mean the cover.
The reason I do, yes, the only reason I position the cover kind of on that end as opposed to the other end is because that's just where I normally park the boat. And I want to put a cover over that end of the dock anyway because it gets more sun out. This end gets a lot more sun.
Gotcha.
So, you know, it would be more the sun area versus the cover area. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if you can see that.
If Sue's dock was drawn in here, it would be over. It would be off the scale here to the right.
Yeah, it's not yet. Yeah, it's okay. Not. It's way. It's back.
I wanted to get out there on my boat to experience it, but I'm just trying to figure out how narrow this is making that cove right there with the. I mean, I realize it's not going to make it any more narrow than it is when your boat is parked there, right?
Yeah, I mean, the deck that got destroyed has been there for a decade, two decades, actually. And so, and I think the prior owner for me didn't have a boat, but the people before did, and they parked it in the same place for a lot of years. So I think I'm... sticking to the spirit of the arrangement.
What is actually sticking out into the lake? Just the lower...
A little bit of the dock itself.
Can I see that picture you showed again?
What you can see here is the remnants of the old...
Okay.
This post sticking out, that was the end of where the lower section of the pier, the that section so was before.
So the way it was built before, it had this upper section and then the lower section. Exactly. Everything was the same. So yeah. You're just, when you say you're building it, rebuilding it the same, you truly mean.
Well, yeah, it's a little bit shorter. It's a couple feet shorter because of the square footage of the roof and that sort of thing requirements. I had to shrink it a little bit just to make it fit within the rest of the requirements. But it's the same as it was before, a few feet shorter.
Okay. And the cantilever is going to stick out. How far beyond the lower dock?
Beyond the lower dock? 9 feet, I think.
9 feet, roughly.
Yeah. It's probably written in there, and I can't.
Yeah, my boat's, 8 feet wide, I think, as a typical boat. Feet. Yeah, so it's just beyond the boat. Right.
Oh, I see it.
There was a variance application on file I got this idea from a variance that apparently never got approved that was filed many years ago to do the exact same thing.
Thank you for bringing that up. I read that earlier, and did you research any more on that history?
I mean, I researched based on the date of the application and in all the meetings within about a year around that and couldn't find any minutes on it, so I assumed that the applicant either just dropped it or withdrew it, but there was no official information about them withdrawing it either. All that's in the property file is the actual application.
Did that say 9 feet? Is that what I'm looking at?
Yeah, sorry, I can zoom in on my, if you want to see my drawing, I can zoom in on it.
I'm zoomed in, but it's just hate fuzzy.
Yeah, it's hard to take a PDF and make it fit on one sheet.
So it's 9 feet by 20?
Yeah, see, how long is it? Yeah, however long my boat is, 20 feet. Okay. Is that right? Let me look. I don't know if we know. 25 feet, actually.
Yeah, I think the roof was 240, something like that.
200. I thought less than that, 204.
Okay. 204 for the roof area itself or for the boat? That's the boat. The roof area is bigger. The roof area is bigger than that.
The roof area is basically a little bit under the max that was allowed in the ordinance. So the whole thing is sized to fit the ordinance, essentially. So there's nothing in there that's non-conforming except for, of course, the distance to the far shore, which I can't do much about in my cove. But I built most of it over land to accommodate that as much as possible.
Oh, I see. So 6 feet for the dock and then 9.5 for the roof. And if there was no other shore, it were 25 feet?
Yeah, 25 feet is the typical extension from your shoreline that you're allotted.
And this falls within it pretty easily. It's like six less than 20 feet in this case.
And I can't read that dimension. I think I read it in the verbiage, but the dimension from the corner of your...
It's like 31.
...to Todd's dock?
Yeah. It's essentially the same distance as my boat sits from his dock right now. It's actually from the corner of his dock to...
23.
The boat is only about 24 feet. Yeah, I'm 31 feet from the shore. When my boat's sitting there, it's 31 feet from the opposite shore and 24 feet from his dock.
Okay.
You're looking at that new glass prescription.
Got my contacts.
Like I said, I'm happy to zoom it in over here. See, I got the sharp version.
Okay,
let me just double confirm one thing I heard. If you had more than 75 feet to the other side of the cove, this would actually be a conforming structure if you were to rebuild.
Oh, yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, it's a little bit unusual, I guess, and difficult from our ordinances standpoint to separate out a dock from a freestanding deck on the shore, which is kind of what we're having to do here. The total structure exceeds what you would be allowed to have for a dock. So it's a combination of a freestanding deck structure and a dock that are really not, I mean, they're connected, and it's a little bit
Hybrid.
It's a little bit convoluted, yeah.
Actually, I think this design fits entirely within the dock spec.
I don't think so.
The square
footage. It's over 1,000 square feet when you add everything up.
No, it's the entire thing, once you add it all up, is...
Including the roof?
Not including the roof. So yeah, you're right. So the roof kind of... But the roof doesn't cover, you know, is covering not part of the deck, is part of the dock, is the weird part, I guess.
Right, but it's just the whole structure. I mean, if you look at the whole structure in totality, it's larger than 875 square feet.
That is true, yeah.
But the way that it's done, and we have these situations and our code isn't really clear about how to address them, where there's portions that are on the shore versus what's in the water. So basically the ambiguity there is I gave in favor of the applicant because I don't feel like it's clear in the code.
And on that particular element, speaking from personal experience, I have my boathouse. It has certain half on ground, half over. But then I have my separate dock that's not, there's open water space. It was considered two different structures it does get convoluted when it's not typical. So I was just trying to kind of piece in my mind that you wouldn't even be, as a practical matter, you wouldn't be in front of us if it wasn't for the cove distance.
Very true. I mean, there'd be about 100 better designs than this if it wasn't for the circumstances.
So my big concern when we consider things like this is, how's it impacting the visual? The visual, number one. Number two, on these smaller coves like we did on the one back there opposite yours, is how's it impacting the ability of Sue or whoever lives there in the future to get a boat back to her dock? And in both of those cases, I don't see it impacting anything. So then the question kind of becomes, is it a, like when we talked about, should somebody be able to rightfully expect to have a two-car garage, and so we let that person put it in front? And so the question is it rightful expectation that you should be able to cover your boat? And as a boat owner and a dock owner, for me, the answer to that is yes.
Well,
you could argue that.
I might actually argue that particular point, because there are properties without covered areas. I'm just kind of similar, kind of almost end result, though, not impacting the neighbors. This would be the same problem with or without the cantilevered area. So whether I think you're owed a covered area, I don't, this would, he wouldn't be in front of us if there was a 75 feet. So I'm more inclined to agree with this concept. I'm not 100% sure that you'll get the desired result of a cleaner boat. Just as long as you're aware of that.
I've had a roof that was not much different than this on a boat before. Yeah, I've got to keep a cover on the boat almost all the time now, just because you spend more time cleaning the boat, and it just becomes something you don't use because it's such a pain.
For me, it's less about the cleanliness. I like to protect it from the sun.
And falling branches, I get falling branches. I've already poked a couple of holes in the vinyl seats because of falling branches that I've had to repair. So at a bare minimum, you'd think that the roof would deflect the falling branches.
My boathouse is completely enclosed. We're sidetracking here. Completely enclosed. I put a tarp over it because I get everything from birds crapping on it. I don't know how they get in there, to spiders all over the place.
Live on a lake.
You live on a lake. And then
I think the way to think about it too is, when we talk about hardship or whatever, there's something unusual about the property that makes it not have the same opportunity that others do. And I think that this is an example of that.
That falls within
this. Yeah.
Right. Thank you. You said it more articulately than I did.
Well, that part is true for sure. But
right.
Then the hardship part, is...
whether or not to expect to be able to cover your boat.
Right.
But it, so basically the way the code is written is, are you able to similarly enjoy your property, or is there something unusual about the size, shape, or topo or other feature that prevents you from being able to have a similar use as your neighbors, I think is the intent of the way that the language is written. So that's kind of...
Well, it's the spot in the lake that makes the ordinances as written difficult to comply with.
Well, that's correct. And, I mean, this is something that I remember, I think, when this was written. I think I was here when these standards were... I don't know if it was the original iteration of them, but I know that we worked on them years and years ago. And there are obviously many locations on the lake where this is a challenge. And it is something that we may, you know, I don't know that there's a way to write an ordinance that's going to address the problem, or just continue to handle them the way that we have been, which is through a variance process.
I love it. I mean, I love this process so that we can make sure that someone isn't blocking somebody else's egress.
Right. Well, and it is an unusual, because of the fact that it is an unusual situation, I think it automatically sort of is an easy to consider variance because you've got this challenge, and then you have the ability to look at the design and the plan, and sort of if you have to mitigate something, you can do that.
Right.
So.
Do you have any more questions?
Yeah.
Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion.
Did you make a motion?
Do you want to make a motion?
It matters not to me.
All right. Right. I will be on the record. I make a motion to approve a variance request PZV 25-01, to build a boathouse closer than 75 feet from the opposite shore in general accordance with the submitted site plan.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Unanimous.
Thanks. I would have wanted to put posts to support the outside of the roof, would that have been a no, or would that have made any difference?
Yeah, that would have been a no from at least this person.
Why is that? Just
Have you seen me drive after a couple of beers?
Well, if you're going down my cove and there's a boat there, you're going to run into the boat instead of the posts. So, yeah. I don't know.
If there's anything else that impedes within that cove area, I would have some concern about that.
I wasn't sure. I kind of stuck to this design just to make it a little easier to say yes, I think. The piers, and also less expensive to build since the way it's designed, but because the piers are expensive to put in, or the posts. But the posts would definitely eliminate any need to worry about structure, and it really wouldn't take up any more room. It might cost a foot. So, but
I don't go down that cove today because of the narrowness of it. I mean, if you go in, you have to back out.
Yeah. Well, trust me, I back out all the time.
I went back and forth thinking about that exact question. And at first I thought I kind of preferred post because that would at least be a firm outline for the person who buys a house after you could now buy a 20-foot wide boat, you know what I'm saying? It could actually impede more of the channel, and then that would be outside our purview. So I kind of decided maybe posts would actually be better for your concerns. Anyway, I went back and forth on that.
Well, I suppose if I see a 20-foot wide pontoon boat on our lake, I might have to regret my decision. But I think anything that impedes within the waterways there, that is such a narrow cove, I'd have concern. And then you'd have to the whims of there's only three of the five of us here, and you need three votes, is correct. So you'd have to wait until there are five people here.
I see. Is it, out of curiosity, cutting a hole in the bank is not a permitted activity on Berkeley Lake, period, as I read. I thought I read something about that, you know.
Was it 35 feet off the shoreline back?
You mean like digging out part of your
I mean like
land?
Literally bringing in a digging machine and cutting a hole in the bank to make a boat slip.
Yeah.
And there is a boat slip like that.
Mine.
There are a bunch.
Yeah.
And yours. But then there's another one where Todd Coker.
So I think that gets into questions that I'm not able to answer without doing a lot more research.
I was just curious about that because that would probably be prohibitively expensive because I don't think it's a good way to get a digging machine down there on my property. And so.
Well, I know at one time Joe Vorrell started that without approval of the city.
Yeah, on his house.
And they shut it down.
They shut it down.
But that's also, just normal, got to get a building permit stuff, right?
That's normal Joe Vorrell, yes, I don't.
There's that too.
His house, I believe, was also in the Chattahoochee Corridor. Yeah. And there have been additional.
There are other regulations at play if you're in the corridor, certainly. But there have always been questions about the applicability of other agencies' rules as it relates to this lake. And doing that is a bigger ask than what most of the work around the lake consists of. And I would have to go down the path of looking into EPD and some other things.
I mean, there's one major benefit to doing that I actually make. I actually remove the 5 feet that I'm, of the actual pier and go straight into the bank with a slip and kind of build a dock around that sort of, with maybe a second level with, like what most people on the boat on the lake have with a top level and a bottom level and a slip. But, if I thought that was an okay thing, I would have explored it. But I read somewhere one of the
I just think generally altering the shoreline like that is probably not.
You can't modify the shoreline.
I would not. That causes me pause and hesitation that I have to do more research on, but I don't think that as a practice.
The shoreline changes constantly, so.
Well,
yeah.
That's it. There were, I believe, Barry, you're right. It's been a long time since I've read that part, so I can't. Mm-hmm. But I walked away from the reading of things that it's not a permitted activity. But it also goes beyond just City of Berkeley Lake.
Right.
We're talking about waters of the state.
It's basically dredging and.
Yeah, and we're talking dredging, in essence. So again, it is small amounts, but the regulations, it would require a lot of digging into this to see if you could make a legal argument to do it.
This seemed easier.
If you have spare $50,000 for mobilization, basically, because I think you would probably need something on about that order to even start thinking about the construction of it.
It turns out that getting a backhoe down there, assuming that I could get one through my wood, the woods around. I could get one probably down there. I'd have to take down a fence and stuff like that. It's not that expensive. It's the big question as to whether I can or not.
Well, and also where you're going to put all that.
Where are you going to haul it
Haul it away if I have to. But.
Yes, and hauling it away is.
You got to haul the dirt. You got to get the dump trucks.
Not easy.
Lined up. Permits. Both the own.
Yeah, all right. You're talking me out of it.
So we'll still have to go through the permits process.
Okay, so I need to. Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. So I need to now apply for.
Yeah, the permit itself, yep. Yeah, okay. If it's not going to be until next year, then you're probably going to have to come back to them and ask for an extension. This variance is good for 1 year.
We'll do it. I'm going to move January
the lake. Great. Then you're good. Perfect.
Okay. All right. The next new business, report on administrative variance approval.
Can I ask a question for clarification on just that score? On the off chance, because contractors are always on time, they are never late, and they'll get done in time. But on the off chance that extends on the past March, would that be an administrative variance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, what I'm about to read right here is that exact case. So, report administrative variance approval 24-07, 3960 Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, and they came in and requested an extension. Theirs expired on, I think it was April 11th of 2024, and so they requested an extension, and it was administrative, so I approved that until April 11th of 2025. And that is the event center, on the corner.
And it is under construction, so they won't have to come back.
Okay. All right, and then the next one was 3762 Frederica Road. That's 24-08, and that was back, I don't know, when was that, November?
Yeah.
I don't know, something like that. I looked at it. I can't remember my thinking on it now. I approved it. It was a it was basically like 61 and a half feet from the road instead of the required 65. And he was a builder, and he designed it.
He was an engineer.
Mm-hmm. He was an engineer, and so So it was basically like 5% encroachment in the front setback. But I don't think anything else about his property was non-conforming, and now his home is non-conforming.
No, I think because everything else was fine.
Right, but now it's non-conforming.
Well,
and when people talk to me about that, I always go, well, you need to think twice about making your home non-conforming because now you need a variance to spit off your back deck.
So, and we can talk about this later, and we probably will. That's a debatable point that the attorney that's working on our code update has actually talked to me about. And
I think you brought that up. So maybe that's not going to be
so correct. The case. That's correct. Right. The variance basically just basically makes it legal and conforming.
Oh.
So, like, the variance brings it into the light of, yep, we did what we had to do. We know that we don't meet the... It's almost like these are the new sets of rules that govern this property. Now, if they did anything to extend the part that is, you know, varied, then they would have to get an additional variance. So, like, in this case, if they got closer to the street, then they would have to come back through you. But if they were building a deck on the back, they would not.
So, we can talk more about the details when
right.
we get to the...
When the draft comes out, and I don't know that it will be addressed in the code. It's really not addressed in our code now. I think that's just been practice and handed down sort of almost like legacy that may or may not be legally necessary.
Well, I have a lot of questions about that, but we'll deal with that when the time comes. And then the last one was... 25-02 600 Hilltop Lane. Blanking out on that one. That's
that
one
was
I just
Phil Johnson's house.
Yeah, that's the deck extension on the non-conforming deck. So the extension complies. The existing deck does not. So they're just
that's right. The existing deck goes way over to the side property line, but they're trying to add something on almost the opposite side of the deck, right?
It's the same side of the, so I mean it's hard to explain, but
didn't make it any more non-conforming.
Correct. They were, and they meet all the setbacks. So basically, the deck is compliant. That the extension of the deck is compliant with the side setback, where a portion of the deck that is that's existing right. or maybe even being replaced as part of the project, I don't know if they're redoing the floor or whatever, is right. non-conforming. So, but this. Anyway, yes, that's...
Yeah, that deck, it makes it hard to get in your boat. You can't walk down and get directly into your boat. You have to go this weird...
Yeah, that property is topographically challenging. I understand.
So, and I've told you guys this before, but I don't rubber stamp the administrative variances. So I look at them, and sometimes I go take my boat out and look at them and stuff like that, so... okay, citizen comments. We have a citizen. Do you have any comments? Citizen?
I've been prepared. I thought of something, but I guess not.
All right.
Okay, I do. Are all your meetings this well attended?
Oh, well, sometimes.
90% of them, yes, but the 10% that aren't, whew.
When they're over on PIB?
We've had some standing room onlys.
Yeah.
Sorry, yours didn't meet that threshold.
No, I'm kind of glad it didn't.
am I considered a citizen? I was going to ask an update on the code update.
They're writing. So they're in the actual drafting space, so that's going to be some time. Okay. After following our, I think it was in October, We had that open house, and then they put together all the results because that survey stayed open into November. They reported on some things, I think, I can't remember if we did anything with them in December. Probably not. But basically, they took all of that input, which is more policy-related and not the nitty-gritty stuff. It was kind of big picture, do's, don'ts, likes, dislikes. They are taking all of that input and then using that to inform the changes, but the changes are a lot broader than that because it's everything from adding graphics and charts and images and more user-friendly language and getting rid of all of the contradictions because we have so many disjointed ordinances that really all fall under the umbrella of a UDO and creating a UDO. So it will be coming back for, you know, review when it's in a draft form. Basically, that's where we are. So,
what does review mean?
Well, there's a steering committee that will look at it, and I suspect that they will take it back to the public for another round of here's what the draft is. You know, they may highlight certain aspects of that. It's a very big project that has a lot of moving parts, so I don't have the full proposal in front of me to tell you exactly what all is coming down the pike. I don't expect that we'll adopt anything until this time next year. We started not quite a year ago, and when we started, I knew that it was almost assuredly a 2-year process based on my history and experience with doing similar projects.
There's going to be more opportunity for public comment.
Correct. That's right. Yeah. You kind of want the front-end public input that's more, like I said, kind of big-picture policy, like let's talk about ideas and concepts, and then when you get it into draft form, you sort of start to pick apart, okay, how does this, you know, like let's apply this language to a real world experience. How's it going to work out? There are also some important, potentially some very important significant zoning changes that will be part of this.
The stuff you've been worried about.
That are connected to the commercial.
Like
right.
All right. Anything we need to discuss? Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Was that a motion or a second?
Motion.
Both. Second.
Second. On favor. Aye.
Aye.
7:59. Good work.
By the way,